I am so excited. Snow. Oh, my. I just love it. And especially you love having snow on the grass and not on the road, you know. But it just really excites me this time of the year, especially this Thanksgiving week. It's just great. Just love it. So, but it's good to be in here. Good to be in God's house, gathered together on sacred and holy ground, knowing that we're not alone. Even though we can't see it, the Holy Spirit is here. God is among us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for everything today. Help us, God, to be mindful, to be thankful of everything, all the details. Help us, God, not to take our blessings for granted, but to give you honor and glory and praise. Be with us now, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Bless and anoint this service that would be pleasing unto you and life-changing to all of us. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless our church. Bless our homes and our families. Fill us all with love for one another and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace of Christ to one another.
Good morning. As you make your way back to your seats, I offer a warm welcome to all present, and especially any visitors that we have this morning. Please raise your hand if you are a visitor. Any visitors this morning? Yes. Our ushers, hopefully, will bring you a packet of information, and if they don't make it to you, they're immediately outside of the double doors in the narthex. Please sign the registration sheets in the red folder located at the end of each pew. Pass it to others in the pew, bringing it back to the center aisle. And if you have a prayer request this morning, please complete the card that you'll find in those red holders. Put it in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and the ushers will bring it forward. Our memory verse for November is printed at the top front page of your bulletin. Join me reciting the book, chapter, and verse twice through. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We do have a variety of announcements. I will highlight a few. Thank yous coming to you from the Outreach Committee. Last Sunday's soup luncheon saw a profit of $550. So, woohoo, I hope you did enjoy all of the delicious soups last week, and that's a wonderful ministry that we support. And also to those of you donating to the Thanksgiving Food Basket Program that will feed local families for Thanksgiving meal this week, a reminder that all of those items are due today. Christmas is coming and our church is ringing in the season. Please mark your calendars to participate in ringing the bells for the Salvation Army. That is scheduled, our church is scheduled on Tuesday, December 13th from 10 in the morning to 8. Laurie has marked those in one-hour increments. They will be on the clipboard that Diane is also going to be passing for her information. So if you can ring the bells for a one-hour slot or more, you can fill in as many as you want. But hopefully we will be well represented on Tuesday, December 13th. Diane has a few announcements.
I had a momentary feeling what Vanna White feels like. We have still need somebody to do refreshments after this service on December 18th. That clipboard is going to come around, so make sure you see both pieces of paper that are on the clipboard. Lisa is going to be doing the 5:30 Christmas Eve service for us with the children's pageant. She did take sign-ups, I believe, this morning in Sunday school, but if you have a child or grandchild that wants to be in the pageant and they did not sign up already, you could give the name to me, and I'll make sure that Lisa gets that. The rehearsal for that will be December 18th, right after this service. And Hanging of the Greens this afternoon, right after this service. What I'd ask you to do before you start bringing everything up, I want you to come down to the first couple of pews. Two reasons. One, to get organized and know that we have everything covered. But secondly, I need to take a lunch count. Some people, you know, may be coming in to decorate and then getting home real quick for the Steeler game and not staying for lunch. So I don't want to have excess pizza left over. Okay, thank you.
Postcards. Our invitation to whoever to come and take part in our Advent services. There's a whole stack of these still out in the narthex. Please take a handful of them with you, as many as you want, and give them away. Give them to your neighbors, your coworkers, family members, anybody that can use an invitation to come to our church during Advent, because our directions and address are on the back. You can mail it if you want to, or hand it to them, to that person. So please, let's spread the word about our Advent services. And another thing, December 2nd, Friday, is the cookie tour. And I've never seen the cookie tour. I'm looking forward to seeing this on December the 2nd. The ministerium, we have also organized a candle walk. And our church will be supplying whoever wants to go with a little electric candle to take with you. We're going to meet at around 5 o'clock at the Presbyterian Church. Please dress warm. And they said that they would have refreshments and that for you there. Then we will see a 5 to 10 minute skit about the birth of Jesus Christ, told from the viewpoint of a shepherd. And then we will walk down, all of us, all these people from all these different churches in the community, will walk down Main Street to the arch. We'll see another 5 to 10 minute skit about the viewpoint of the birth of Christ from a prophet. And then we will walk down to the Christmas tree. And at the tree, we will see the skit of 5 to 10 minutes again from the viewpoint of an angel about the birth of Christ. And that portion we are responsible for as a church. We will put something together 5 to 10 minutes. And we'll have these candles to light, and we'll sing hymns along the way. And at each stop, we'll sing some Christmas carols. So something new. Invite your friends and your families. Dress warm. 5 o'clock, December 2nd, Friday, meet at the Presbyterian Church. So you can park downtown and walk up there, whatever you want to do. But let's come on out and do this together as a community. Pardon? For the skit that we're going to do, we'll come up with something. Yeah, Diana and I are going to work on that and see what we can put together and just brainstorm some stuff. There won't be anything fancy, but... Yeah, right. They'll be casting calls. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Just to follow up on that, that is a wonderful event that's been hosted by the Irwin businesses for the last number of years, and it will be a perfect opportunity for our church to have an outreach because there are hundreds of people that will be here going store to store for cookies, and that's what the cookie tour is all about. So we will have a very active audience, so that will be a wonderful ministerium. One last reminder that if you did place an order for Christmas poinsettias, on the original order form it had indicated that there was a 9 o'clock service. There is, in fact, no 9 p.m. service for Christmas Eve. Services are scheduled for 5:30, 7:30, and 11. I would now ask that you do check your bulletin for additional announcements and meetings that are scheduled, and turn your hearts and minds to worship as our bell choir presents their music.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cathedral Bells. I would now ask that you please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship. Actually, this morning, the call to worship is Psalm 150, and you can find that on page 862 of your red hymnal. So our call to worship, please recite your response to my prompt. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise God for His mighty deeds. Praise God with trumpet sound.
Praise God with
lute and harp. Praise God with tambourine and dance.
Praise God with strings and pipe.
Praise God with sounding cymbals.
Praise God with loud clashing cymbals.
Let everything that breathes praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Please turn in your red hymnals to page 694. Come ye thankful people, come. Please be seated. Our word of God this morning is in Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, page 188 of your pew Bible, if you would like to follow along. Hear Paul's words as he ministers to the Gentiles. And so, from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And here ends Paul's reading.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Give me five. Five, 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 five. All right. And who loves you?
Jesus
loves you bunches and bunches. Who loves them? Jesus. Who loves them?
Jesus.
Really, I'm telling you. Well, last week we talked about the shoeboxes. What went into them, and how we should be thankful for all the stuff that we have at home. And that's why we send out these shoe boxes. Today, we're going to bless and anoint them. So I need your help. Come on with me. Okay, I want you to line up here and reach up here and touch a shoe box while I pray. Okay, because I believe that you children have great faith. So put your hand on a shoebox. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we lift up these shoeboxes and the ministry of the shoeboxes, Lord, and we pray that you would bless and anoint them, that they would get into the right hands. And Lord, we pray that the people who receive them, the children, that they will feel the love of Christ coming to them through these packages. So Lord, bless them. Bless those who receive them. Bless those who bought them and put them together. For we ask all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. All right, now, second part. What holiday do we celebrate?
Thanksgiving.
Yes. Right here in this area, just in this area, what do we have that we can give God thanks for? Food. Is there food here? Did I miss something? Is that? No. Just right here. What's right here in this area? What do you see around us that we can give God thanks for?
Choir.
For the choir? Yes, we can give God thanks for the choir.
Our church?
For our church?
For mirrors.
For mirrors, yes. I like mirrors. See how handsome I am, you know. I hear laughter over here? Yes? Bibles, yes. We have some Bibles right around here. For your pastors. Oh, give me five. How sweet that is. For people. Okay, come on down here. So we thank God for all those things. Okay, right around here. What can we thank God for here? For what?
Persons?
For your cousin Emma.
For your dad.
For the area, the carpet and the pews, okay?
Windows.
Windows, yes. For electricity and lights. For heat, because it's snowing outside. Walls, yes, and the roof, shelter, that's right. It's snowing outside, which is great, but it's not in here, which is even better. You know, that's good it's not snowing in here.
The ceiling,
yes, all the decorations. Yeah, we can be thankful for all that. See, and whenever you stop, no matter where you're at, yes?
Lights.
Take time to thank God for what you have. Just when you're out playing, when you're at home, when you're even riding in the car, just stop for a moment and think, what can I thank God for? And look around you.
and tell God thank you. That's called practicing the presence of God. Learn to do that, and then you'll experience His presence in your life all the time. Okay? Come on back up here. Let's pray and give God thanks, and then we'll do the... Dear Heavenly Father, for all that we have and for all that we will have, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Diane and choir, for that beautiful hymnal this morning. And now I would ask that our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we give unto you these tithes and these offerings. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless and multiply them. Use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. And Lord, we are truly thankful for all these blessings that you have given us. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It is Thanksgiving week. So tell me. Don't tell me, tell God. What are you thankful for?
Family.
Good health. Health such that it is.
Warm clothes.
Warm clothes.
Safe travels.
Safe travels. France. Correct. Out the back.
And Austria.
Good food.
Good food.
Good, bad. Good rich food.
Good rich food.
Yeah.
Working furnace.
Working furnace.
Indoor plumbing.
Thank you. Yes. Indoor plumbing and toilet paper, my personal favorites. What is it? Oh, for your puppy. Yes, for your new puppy. And that your puppy's all better. For your life. There you go. Other joys.
Our country.
Our country.
Our church and our church family.
Our church and our church family. The flowers on the altar today are from the Harriet Urig Memorial that we had here yesterday. Harriet Urig, her and Ron were married here 60 years ago. And they attended church here, lived in Irwin area until they had a couple of sons. And they moved out of the area to Florida eventually.
And Ron is returning home to Florida, but Harriet had passed away, so we did a memorial service yesterday. Friday night, we had the spaghetti dinner, which was a real praise the Lord, a real joy, and we had entertainment. It was Arnie McFarland, Pastor Arnie McFarland, and a Pastor Lenny, and then Jill, I think it was, the three of them. It was a trio, and I thought, oh, here we go, an evening of nice hymns, and they started off with some Creedence Clearwater Revival, some James Taylor, some Fleetwood Mac,
Everly Brothers.
Oh, it was wonderful, and they would have hymns in there, and we had a grand time. So that was a joy. Any other joys?
The response we get when we put up the invitation for a need—it seems to be always filled.
When we have a need. Connie wants to say thank you to God for the response that we have when we have a need. We are a giving congregation, a friendly congregation. I have on the back of my business card, where friends become family, and that's what I like. So for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Now, pens and pencils and mental tablets. We want to keep Laverne in our prayers. We want to pray for our country. Everybody who's traveling, especially this time of the year, one of the most traveled times of the year. For addicts, their families and friends. Addicts, they can't help themselves, but they tear apart lives. So pray for those who are addicted. Men and women in the military and their families. Pray for our PPRC, SPPRC, Staff Pastor Parish Relations Committee. They have interviews to do on Tuesday. Pray for our church, ministries, the outreach, finances. What else? Who else? President and administration, again, our government at all levels, state, local, federal. We really need to pray for the transition from one president to the other. Other concerns. Maybe we should do like we do at Thanksgiving dinner. We should go around each person and have everybody name one. And I know you're going, no. For families who aren't going to be together, there are broken homes out there. There are homeless people. There are poor people who can't afford any type of a celebration. There's the working poor. We need to remember all those folks in our prayers and do something about it if we can. And let's pray for... we prayed for Stephanie this morning. God knows the details. So if you have an
For situations where Christians are hurting other Christians.
Yep. And let's pray for those suffering from anxiety and depression, because this time of the year is really rough on them. So if you have an unspoken request for God, raise your hand. God sees the hand and knows the details. So for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. We come before you, God, because there's no place else to turn. Nobody else has the answers that you do. Nobody loves us like you do. You are almighty, ever present, all loving, We thank you. Thank you for this time that we have with you, with each other. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Thank you that we can lift up into the light and love of your presence our country and our country's leaders. All those who are traveling, Lord, we pray for traveling mercies. For those who are addicted in any way whatsoever, God, that addiction just tears lives apart. Bring a healing to them. For the men and women and their family in the military, thank you for the freedom that we enjoy. For Laverne, for the homeless, the working poor, broken families, broken homes. We lift up to you, Stephanie. We lift up to you, Lord, our church here, the ministry. In particular, we lift up Staff Pastor Parish Relations Committee and the work that they have to do. And God, we bring into the light and love of your presence by faith those who are suffering from anxiety and depression, situations where Christians are hurting other Christians. And Lord, you know what that's all about. And we give to you the unspoken request. See, God, we believe in you, and we trust that you will deliver us, that you will answer these prayers. We believe, help our unbelief. Put our eyes upon you and not upon circumstance. And fill us with the revelation truth of your holy word that tells us that the chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. We believe, help our unbelief. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Begin with verse 33. This is what we are thankful people for. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of God for the children of God.
Thanks be to God.
Truly, thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, we want to be good stewards. We want to be good stewards of our many, many blessings that God has given us. We want to be good stewards of our time. We want to be good stewards of our money. We want to be good stewards of our food that we have in our homes, our cars, people we hang out with. We want to be good stewards with our church. I mean, sure, this is a beautiful building, but it doesn't mean anything if it's not used for God's glory. Just a fancy house. So we want to be good stewards in all that we do. Got to tell you a story. Oh, give me the, yeah. There's something in here I need the reference. There was a dog, a large dog, walked into a butcher shop one day, and it had a purse in its mouth. And the dog went up to the meat case and put the purse down and sat down. And the butcher looked over the case and saw the purse and the dog and said, "Well, can I help you?" The dog said, "Woof." And the butcher said, "I guess you'd like to purchase some meat?" "Woof." "Okay, what would you like? Ham? Bacon? Steak?" "Woof." "Steak. Steak it is." Boy, the butcher was really amazed. And the butcher says, "So how much would you like? A half pound? A pound?" "Woof." "A pound. Okay." So the amazed butcher just couldn't get over it. He wrapped up the meat, looked in the purse, got out the money, gave the meat and the purse back to the dog, and the dog trotted out the door. Butcher says, "I got to see this." And so the butcher followed along. And that dog trotted for 3 blocks, went into an apartment building, up 3 flights of stairs. And that butcher was right behind him. And that dog went up to a door and started scratching. And a man jerked open the door and started yelling at the dog. And the butcher said, hey, you shouldn't be yelling at such an intelligent animal. And the man looked at the butcher and said, "Intelligent? That's the 3rd time this week he's forgot his key." That man was definitely not thankful for what he had. On the other hand, there's a woman named Pam who works in downtown Chicago. She's on her work every morning. She parks in the garage and she has to walk a little bit to get to her office building. And she always passes by this old brick church. And in front of that old brick church was a middle-aged woman wearing a shabby coat who was always soliciting, begging for spare change. Pam got into the habit of helping her out. The woman was pleasant. She greeted everybody with a big smile and a real nice good morning. So Pam would go up and give her some of her change. This went on for a long time, and after about a year, one day the woman wasn't there. Pam missed seeing her. Day after day she went by, the woman wasn't there, and then one day the woman was standing there, again in her old shabby coat. And so Pam walked up to her, reached in her purse, and the woman said, No, I don't need any change. She says, "I just wanted to be here today to look for the people who have helped me over the years and give them something." And she pulled out a donut that was all wrapped up and gave it to Pam. She says, "I got a job." She goes, "I just wanted to say thank you for what you've done for me." And that's what she did for everybody who had helped her out. That woman was thankful. Now Jesus and his disciples are walking along the road and out in the countryside there. And all of a sudden, way across the other side of the road, there are 10 men standing there, 10 lepers. And they see Jesus and they've heard the stories and they yell out, "Jesus, Jesus, Master, have pity on us."
And so Jesus does. And Jesus tells them, go. Go. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And scriptures tell us that as the 10 men went, they were healed as they went. And as soon as they saw that they were healed, one man turned around and ran back and in a loud voice threw himself at Jesus' feet, yelling out loudly, praising God, thanking God for his healing. Jesus says, weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Why was this only person who came back, and him a foreigner, why is it only one? See, that man was a Samaritan, scriptures say. Samaritans and the Jews, I've already explained that one, you know, they didn't see eye to eye, they didn't get along. But that man didn't care. He didn't care. All mattered to him was that he had this deadly disease and he was healed. And he knew that it was because of Jesus. And so he threw himself at Jesus' feet, worshiping. And so Jesus looks at that man and he says, you know, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now, you got to understand something about leprosy. You know, we talk about it all the time and how it's in the Bible. But leprosy was the killer disease of that day. The cancer that just destroyed the body. Leprosy, they didn't have the medical facilities and the doctors and everything that we have today. And when you got leprosy, it was a death sentence. But it didn't kill you right away. Your hair would turn white. You'd have sores all over your body from your head to your toes. Your fingers and toes would become atrophied and fall off because of lack of circulation. Your nerve endings would go dead. Sometimes even body parts, your arms and legs would fall off. Your nose, lips, your ears would just dissolve. And you weren't allowed to come into contact with any human being, not even close to them. So you had to turn your back on your families, on your life. And you had to live with other lepers and watch their suffering while they watched your suffering until you died. And leprosy could take up to 30 years to kill you. A slow, agonizing death. And on top of all that was the constant stench of decaying flesh. And we've all smelled that driving down the road and that dead deer laying along the road. Dead animals. They stink. You imagine living with that day after day? No wonder that man ran back to Jesus, giving God thanks. What happened to the other 9? Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest. Why the priest? Because the priest is the public official who is to declare a person clean or unclean. You had to see the priest in order to be allowed to return back to life, to your family, to work. You had to be declared clean by the priest first. And those other 9 lepers were so excited, so thrilled at the idea of getting back to their families and their way of life that they just rushed off to see that priest. But the one leper saw the big picture. Recognized where his healing came from. The other 9 were healed physically, but the one leper was healed physically and spiritually, for Jesus said, your faith has made you well. And the Greek for that is saved. That well, that word that's used means saved. So there was salvation for his spirit as well as his body. Here's a really important thing. Let those who have ears hear. Jesus could have went up to them and healed each one. You're healed, you're healed. Because he healed other lepers like that. He touched lepers, which he's not allowed to do, but he did it anyways. He touched them and healed them. But to these 10 lepers, he didn't go over and touch them. Instead, he told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. They were still lepers when he said go. They were still lepers when they turned and started heading towards the priest. But at some point in their journey to get to the temple to see the priest, all of a sudden the sores went away, the hair turned back, limbs grew, nerve endings returned, there was tingling all over their body, their flesh became like newborn babies. And they're like, what's going on? Look, and they're looking at each other, and the limbs are growing out, and they're healed as they went. Here's the really cool thing is, when Jesus told them to go, they went. That was their step of faith. They believed in the healing that Jesus said they were going to have, even though they didn't have it. How many times do we as Christians pray for something in our lives and we won't believe until we see it? Where is our thankfulness? Where is our trust? We have to learn as Christians that we serve an almighty God and that we have a direct pipeline to him, and that the word of God is living and alive, and it's true, and it's greater than anything that we can see, hear, feel, taste, smell, touch in this world. We've got to believe more in the word of God than in what is going on around us. We've got to be thankful. And the reason I wanted this was to reference, and you would think I should just remember it, but you don't trust my, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Say 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
1 Thessalonians 5:18.
Okay. In all things, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. In all things, in good things and in bad things. Why do we give thanks? Because we serve an almighty God. Because Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his pleasure, his purpose. In all things, God is working for our good. So no matter what's going on, we know it's going to be okay. And we can give thanks. See, it's easy to thank God for what we already have. That doesn't take faith. Here's a check for $10,000 made out to Bruce Judy. Already signed. All I got to do is take it to the bank. This is cash in hand. Thank you, God. But that doesn't require any faith, does it? Because it's right here in hand. Still just a check, but it's cash in hand. It's good. It's on a good bank, good person. But to believe God for a healing, to quote the scriptures that the chastisement of my peace is upon Jesus, by his stripes I am healed. I feel a healing coming on. To believe that God says you're going to have that business. God says you're going to have that job. God says, I'm going to bless your marriage. You're going to get through this. It's going to be fine. When things around you don't look good, when things are falling apart, that takes faith. And so we say, thank you, God. Because to say thank you, God, means I trust more in God than I trust in what's going on around me. And that's what those lepers, they trusted more in Jesus than they did in their leprosy. And so as they went, they were healed. So what's the big deal about the one guy coming back? Jesus expects us to be a thankful people. Jesus expects us to come back and say thank you for what we have. By saying thank you, we're showing our trust in God. So this Thanksgiving, when you go around the supper table, as I know a lot of us do, and you give thanks. Everybody takes turns. There, you know, again, we'll be at Bonnie's sister's place. Don and Rob's up there in New Brighton at their farm, and be about 25, 30 of us shooting clay pigeons. We do that for a couple of hours. Then a bunch of us go across the street, and we load up the handguns, and we shoot targets. Then we come over to Haas, and we clean guns, and we maybe play pinochle. And then we Rob deep fries the turkey, and we sit around a table, and we have a wonderful supper. And we go around the table before we get started, and we give thanks. I like to go around three times. It makes it a little bit more difficult. But I would encourage all of us this year to give thanks not for what we already have, but to give thanks for something that you don't have, but something you need, something you want, something you believe God is going to bless you with, but you don't have it yet. Give thanks. It'll show your trust in God. God loves you, and so do I. Happy Thanksgiving. Stand. Well, look around you and smile and be thankful that you don't look like the person standing next to you. That's it. Laugh. Enjoy life. We are a blessed people, and we have a lot to be thankful for. So share your joy. Share your blessings with others. Have a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. Fill us with your love, one for the other, and especially love for you. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen.